This is Not the Average Real Estate Podcast by Not Your Average Real Estate Investor. Dipna Boholt used real estate investing strategies to completely replace the income from her accountancy practice with passive income in just 18 months and has since taught thousands of others to do the same. Welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast.
Hi guys, Dipna here, and welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast series. This week, we're going to be again looking at some more disruptors, some of the big changes that are happening in the market. This is actually week three of my series, where I've taken some of the content out from the live event that I did on a big national tour called Next 10, as in what's happening in the next 10 years in real estate. And some of the things that we're going to be going through in this podcast, you might say, yeah, you know, I don't see how that's going to affect real estate, but I'll show you. I'll show you the facts and figures, and I'll prove to you just how some of these things are going to have massive difference. Things like, for instance, driverless cars and personal drones. You know, what's that actually going to do to our real estate market? Because it will have an impact. But, you know, I'll prove it to you with all the facts, and it really will change the fabric of our daily lives. And more importantly, it changes the way we need to start investing for the next 10 years. So have a listen, and we'll go to the live event now, and I'll catch you up on the other side. Talk to you soon.
Megatrend number two, driverless cars, personal drones. What's this going to mean? You know, does it just mean that we can have our pizza delivered by a drone? Maybe. Although somebody the other day got an $8,000 fine because they didn't have a pilot's license. Those laws are going to change as this becomes more and more popular. You know, in America, they sell specific guns to shoot down drones. Apparently, it's a big deal that these drones are going over the top of your property, and America being what it is, you know, you can shoot anything that comes onto your property. So even the airspace, they sell specific drone guns so that when a drone goes over your airspace, unbelievable. Location is everything. But the practicalities of location are set to change dramatically. An hour each way commute won't seem so bad if you can sit there and read a book, watch a video, study your I Love Real Estate information, and to get your day started. This will flatten the price differential curve, and I'll get to that, I'll show you what I'm talking about there, between the inner and the outer suburbs. That is, outer suburbs won't seem so bad and won't attract so much of a discount relative to the inner city neighbours. So as transportation gets easier, as we start to move into more driverless cars and this type of technology, what it means is that the outer lying areas of cities will become more expensive. They will become more desirable. At the moment, a 45-minute drive to your work is the tipping point. It's the tipping point of a 45-minute drive. Anything over and that, the price differential goes down substantially. Okay, so over 45 minutes commute starts to become a bigger problem. Prices start to go down. That's going to move. Because if we don't need to be, you know, fighting in the traffic and whatever else, and this goes on to the next point that I'm getting to in a minute, what it means is that the outer lying areas will be more popular. They're more affordable, they're more popular, and you won't have this big differential between city and inner and outer areas. This will also change the relative importance of proximity to work and amenities. That is, living close to work will become less important, and living somewhere nice and somewhere you like to live will become relatively more important. So coastal areas will start to become more valuable. Coastal areas at a little bit more of a distance start to become more valuable, because the commute time starts to become less of a problem. Now, I'm not talking next year. You know, I might not even be talking 2020, but certainly in the next 10 years, this is going to revolutionize cities. And what you're going to find, that the density of the cities will start to move outwards. And as it moves outwards, you get a greater demand in the outer areas, and you're going to get an increase in price in those areas. Now, when I talk about particularly Sydney this afternoon, and I talk about jobs and the infrastructure spending going on for Sydney, there are some significant areas which you need to keep your eye on, which comes into line with this and some of the other points I'm going to make shortly. In time, personal drones will blow it all away. We could simply take ourselves to in our little personal drone come helicopter to wherever we want to go. Now, this is taking it to the extreme, perhaps. In any case, our cities will make a huge surge outwards as people look to combine a relaxed lifestyle with inner city employment and salaries. We've already got, it's actually not that picture, but we've already got in Perth a driverless bus. You know, we're starting to go down this road. And once we've got one, we've got two, we've got 10, we've got thousands. Our airspace, I believe, is starting to become more valuable. You know, the authorities really just aren't keeping up with what can happen in that space and the regulations. So what that means is there's opportunities like this, where you can get in right now and you can buy into these areas and create new dwellings. Because nobody wants to live in the old crapper anymore. They want higher spec. They want nicer properties, but they want them in better locations. So in this example, this is a student deal where it was a small development deal. Not only did it increase the value, but it also created a positive cash flow. By creating that property, this student didn't have to sell any of them, rented them out, and their positive cash flow. So you can sit back, ride the higher demand, and get a positive cash flow. Who wants one of them? They're everywhere. I don't care where you're from. In fact, where are you guys from? Who is from out of Sydney? All right. Who is from Wollongong and South? Who's from Gosford and North? Okay. Who's from Canberra? I didn't forget you. Who's from regional New South Wales? Couple? Good on you guys. How far did you drive to get here today? 3 hours? Give them a round of applause, driving 3 hours to get here. Who's from out of New South Wales completely? Did you get lost? Where are you from? Victoria. You know I'm there tomorrow, hey? All right. But what that means is a lot of those outer areas, you can actually start to produce better quality properties because the demand will follow it. They'll be more positively geared. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you have to go to Dubbo, but you're going to have a push out to some of the regional areas. And when I start talking about remote working and things like that, this is even more emphasized with this. Here's another example. These guys, now I put this example up because this type of manufactured growth process is a process that, yes, you've got to learn how to do it. Yes, there's a lot of trips and traps along the way that you've got to make happen. But by being able to produce properties that create big chunks of money like this, produce an end product that is in demand, that kind of money makes a big difference into paying down debt. Would you agree? You know, if you're spitting out $300,000 or $400,000 a year by your activity, by your manufactured growth strategies, that puts a big hole in your debt over a period of time. Or it's a big chunk of money to go into to set up a positive cash flow portfolio, which is, again, what you need to be doing. So I just wanted to show you that because that starts to make massive difference. This kind of income coming in every year means perhaps you don't have to work anymore if that's the strategy that suits you. We start to have a look at the areas. Now, these statistics show the move to suburbs has already started to change. So, you know, you look up here, the big one there, Melbourne West, look at that. To the Gold Coast, desirable location, easier commute to Brisbane if you're there. Some of the Queensland ones, Sydney, look at this. The inner southwest, there you got Sydney, the Parramatta area. southwest there for Sydney. You start to go through to the ones that are going backwards. Look at this. Melbourne, outer east is there, and Logan actually, and Bow Desert more than Logan actually went backwards there. So you start to see where the areas of change are. Now, this is the kind of information that you need to be on top of every year. You know, you need to be noting where the big movements are. What's the percentage change of population in the areas that you're going into? Where should you be targeting? When you have an influx of people, can we not take photographs, please? When you have an influx of people, you start to have a higher demand ratio. Demand for rent, demand for property, increase in pricing either way. And there's a lot of the industries that are starting to move. Now, this was actually presented, these next few slides were actually presented at the I Love Real Estate Super Conference last weekend. So I thought I'd show you guys. Now, the actual figures are talking about Brisbane, okay? But the concept is the same. You know, the concept of the push to outer areas away from the city is exactly the same. We're having this trend where suburbia is becoming more popular. Suburbia is where the greater demand is. It's not in the inner cities. It's in the inner cities that we actually have an oversupply. We have an oversupply in units, Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane. Oversupply of inner city units, Perth too for that matter. So that's not, can we not take photographs please? It's in your book. The guys that bought the books, it's in your books. Oh, it's not in your books. All right, take a picture then. Don't take a picture. What I'm going to do, for all the guys that bought the books, I've added a lot of slides. I've added a lot of slides to the deck after they got printed. So this had to be printed on Monday. And I'm going, I've got to tell them this. So I've added a whole bunch of stuff. But what I'm going to do is they will be put up onto a website. You'll be given a link to actually download the slides so you can download the slides so you can actually see all the extras for the guys that bought the books, etc. So let's have a look at this. So this is Brisbane, admittedly, but the trend is the same. Let's have a think about lawyers. Now, lawyers are traditionally inner city dwellers, okay? In Brisbane, there are 9,000 lawyers. Where do you think the split is? Do you think they're mostly in the city, are they in the suburbs, or in the outer suburbs? What do you think? Outer? Well, let's have a look. Actually, 65% of lawyers are in the city. They work in the city. So this is the one industry where it bucks the trend. Lawyers like to charge more, so they like to have the expensive office. No, I'm just joking. That's the reality. So you can see there that this inner city here actually bucks the trend, and lawyers are one of the industries that actually do that. Let's have a look at engineers. 16,000 engineers in Brisbane at the moment. Where do you think they are mostly? Let's have a look. You can see the numbers are starting to come down. So they're being more regionalised. So, you know, your engineer that you employ, you're not necessarily going to use a city engineer if you're dealing in the east or the west or the north or the south. Okay, you're going to use the engineers in the area. So suburbia and employment, where employment goes is where demand goes. So we've always got to look at where the employment hubs are. Let's go to the professionals. So there's a whole range of professionals. You've got accountants, you've got insurance guys, you've got real estate agents, you've got everybody. Where do you think they are? There's 284,000 of them in Brisbane. Where do you think they're mainly going? Suburbs. Look at that. 50% are actually in the outer suburbs. Interesting figures. Let's have a look at healthcare. 166,000 healthcare workers in Brisbane right now. Where do you think they are? Look at that. So this is changing the dynamics of where desirable locations are, because people want to be within that easy commute of their work. However, remember, the advent of the technology with driverless cars and other things is pushing that circle around the hub further out as well. What about education and training? 110,000 people in this industry. Look at that. Massive reversal. Because education, if you think about it, education and training is close to the higher population hubs. So if these other industries are going further and further out, training and education definitely has to be out, because that's where the people are. You know, that's where the higher education and the schools and everything else, that's where it's required. So this is just really a confirmation of what's happening. What about managers, middle managers, people like that, 158 of them in Brisbane at the moment? Have a look at that. Again, because that's where the employment hubs are. So that's where the managers have to be. So that's where the kids go to school. So that's why the education has to be there. That's why the healthcare has to be there. You getting the picture? What have we got? Clerical admin, same story. Look at that. A lot of that, those figures there are a little bit distorted. It's not as much as, say, the managers over here. That's a little bit distorted because of public service. Public servants still like to be in the city. So that's distorting that a little bit because of government inefficiencies. I didn't say that. So as this becomes a reality, expect to see a gold rush of properties within 100 kilometres of the CBD. That's a big deal, isn't it? 100 kilometres of the CBD of major cities, particularly in high desirable locations. Now you think of Sydney CBD. Where's 100K get you? Get you up and down the coast a fair way, doesn't it? Yeah? And if your employment hub is actually in the west of Sydney, places like Bathurst, Orange, you know, they might be desirable locations for you. So we're starting to see this push. Now, however, when we say this, they've got to come with good services. So they've got to have good healthcare. They've got to have good education. You know, they've got to have good services in order to be a desirable location. But we are seeing a much bigger push out further than it's ever been before. So where's the opportunity? Capitalise now on undervalued outer rim areas, particularly in desirable locations. Use property acquisition and control documents such as options to secure sites for development, but you have to make them positive cash flow in the meantime. Utilise high demand strategies now to create positive cash flow income. So we still got to keep them positive if we're going to hold them for the future. Grid variance analysis is your answer. Now, grid variance analysis is a strategy that I developed, and I developed it out of a lot of formulas and training that I actually used when I was back in the corporate world. And a lot of the reports and things that I did back then were used to make, you know, $200, $300 million decisions. The same strategy applies to you and your money. If you're going to be putting in your $20,000, your $200,000, your $2 million into an area, you need to make sure that that area is going to perform. How do you determine where you're going to make the most money right now doing manufactured growth? The answer is grid variance analysis. Now, it's a strategy I'm not going to go through right now, but it's a strategy that we cover a lot in the training. Grid variance analysis, you can actually even buy a software program now through the community, which gives you which makes it happen so much quicker and easier. But it is something that you have to do. Just like those circles on the outside. You've got to have them all green. Before you buy a property, you've got to do grid variance analysis to make sure that the area into which you're buying is going to make you the most money or the best return on the money you're putting into the deal. So it takes away all the rubbish out of the market, because you can lose money doing real estate in Australia. You can. You know, we've seen a lot of people starting in situations where they're upside down and negative cash flow and all these other things. So understand that it is something that you have to get on top of. You've got to step up. You've got to start to take the initiative and start treating your real estate investing like a business, because that's what it is. It's a business. You know, it's a business that can provide you amazing lifestyle, amazing opportunities, but it's still a business and you need to treat it like a business.
So guys, what did you think? Some really cool information there, isn't it? And it'll certainly change the not only what you're going to be investing in and what you're going to be creating in the market, but also where you're going to be doing it. And that's the thing. There's so many great opportunities out there that are untapped at the moment, but over the next 10 years, seriously, you're going to see some massive, massive impact. And that's where you need to be ahead of the curve. So that's why I really wanted to do this podcast series of the next 10 with you and follow up each week with some more and more information about how you can take advantage of those kind of changes. But you know what? We're not over yet. This is only week 3, so I'll be back again to talk to you next week on week 4 with some more facts and figures and some more insight into what's actually happening and how you can take advantage and how you can make money, because that's what it's all about, making money in the property market. So until then, I'll see you next week. Bye now.